the Blast From Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spees.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-bar trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, Adam Spees.
I'm your co-host, John Spees.
And today we've got another amazing batch of nostalgic queries for you. And we've also got two guys from the game show Trivolution. Check that out at floridagameshow.com for any of your corporate event needs and just all of trivia awesomeness. These guys are great. So, in one corner, if you cross this man, he'll put a hit out on you, or at least bust your kneecaps if you don't pay him security money. Maybe his work on Game Show Trivolution is just a front, because he's definitely in the mafia. It's David Abalafia. Hey, David. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Been a long time since you've been on, but remind everybody a little bit about you.
Well, I'm from Sarasota, Florida. I am a writer among many other jobs, including hosting trivia shows for Game Show Trivolution, and I'm also a two-time game show loser.
That's not true.
Also a two-time game show winner, but I wanted to lower some expectations.
Oh, I see. So what were the game shows that you've won and the ones you've lost?
Well, won two games of Jeopardy and then lost on Jeopardy, and then also earlier this year was taken down by Victoria on The Chase.
Nice. Nice. That's impressive.
At least she didn't take out the knitting needles while we were playing.
That's good, yeah. She wasn't that bored with you. So that's right, awesome. Right. All right, and your opponent. He's a man that always likes to keep his favorite snack handy. He's got to have beef. He's got to have spice. Need a little excitement? Snap into a slim Jim Casey. Hey, what's up, Jim Casey?
That may be the first time I've ever been called slim, but hey, how are you this morning?
Doing very good. Would you please, this is your first time on our show, please let everybody know a little bit about you.
Okay, sure. So my name is Jim Casey. I am actually from the state of Maine, but moved down to Central Florida 13 years ago, went to a trivia night one night and thought it was the most horrific, boring thing ever. And so I decided off that to create my own company and put game show elements into my trivia nights. And we call it Game Show Trivolution, being Trivia Revolution, and it kind of grew from there. Like you said, I do corporate events, so I am actually preparing a family feud for later this afternoon down in my, I'm going to Miami after this. So
nice.
I got quite a long drive after this, but yeah, we do corporate events all over the state. David's actually done some family feuds for me as well, so you can get either one of us to do a live game show for you. And someday I'm thinking about maybe having David be a chaser for my version of The Chase.
He would be a very good call for that.
Absolutely. So I'm ready to get my ass wiped by my contractor per se.
Your subordinate, you can say. You're the boss. You're the boss, man.
If there's really such a thing, yes.
All right. Well, before we do that, we have got to learn our rules.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, now that we know David and Jim just a little bit, I want to get to know them a little bit better. And I was thinking about some fantastic movies we've had recently, and an actor who is kind of weird. Ever since he jumped on a couch on the Oprah show, everyone thought he was really weird, and the Scientology is a crazy guy. But he makes some darn good movies. I want to know, what is your favorite Tom Cruise film?
Who are you talking to?
Whoever throws it out.
Okay.
And whichever one I like best is going to get to go first.
There are a lot of them that I like, but I would have to go to the one that I probably quote the most often, which would be Risky Business.
Okay. All right. There's some good quotes in that one. Nice 80s, classic 80s movie right there.
Well, I got to say, if I'm really thinking about it, and any of the Tom Cruise, I mean, got to say, I loved the Top Gun Maverick that came out recently, but if I'm really thinking about great movies of his, I think any of the Mission Impossible movies, especially the ones in the 90s when he was younger and could do even more crazy things stunt-wise, I think the first couple of Mission Impossible movies were great.
Okay, we've got Risky Business versus, like, say, the first Mission Impossible movie. Good calls on both of those. Between the two, I'm going to go action. I'm going to go Mission Impossible. So that means, Jim, you get to pick your category first.
All right. So I'm sure for David, this will be obvious. I will take sports.
Okay.
And your decade is the 50s.
All right. Starting way back.
Okay.
All right. In 1956... what player became the first recipient of the NBA's MVP award? He was also the first two-time recipient when he won it again in 1959. He played his entire career with the Hawks, was the 1955 Rookie of the Year, 11-time All-Star, and entered the Naismith Hall of Fame in 1970.
Oh, God, the Hawks. The St. Louis Hawks. Oh, crap. 1955. Can't think of it. I give up.
All right. Don't have it. David, can you steal?
As Jim has highlighted, my worst category being sports, and of the major sports, basketball is probably the one I know the least about. So, no, I'm going to say, just to throw out a name, Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain is
definitely not Wilt.
Incorrect.
Yeah,
This was a tough one. This is actually a leftover question I had for the bench warmers, who are heavy sports trivia guys. So they would, I was assuming they would know it. But it's, I'd never heard of this guy. It's just, his name is Bob Pettit.
Bob Pettit. Yes, I actually have heard of him. I just couldn't remember
his name. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Yeah, I'm not big with basketball, so I didn't know. But he obviously had a lot of fantastic credits to his name. But unfortunately, no points to either of you. David, though, it is your turn to pick a category.
Let's start with movies.
Okay.
And we're just stepping up to the 60s.
All right. Costing $44 million and released in 1963, what Elizabeth Taylor film was the most expensive movie ever made up until that time? Earning only $58 million in the box office, it is widely considered a flop.
I believe that is Cleopatra.
That is Cleopatra. All right, Jim, we are back to you. Which of the remaining categories do you want?
All right, let's see. How about music?
Okay.
Your decade is the 2000s.
Okay.
Champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends is a song from the 2005 album From Under the Cork Tree, by what band that features Patrick Stump and Pete Wentz?
Blink-182?
Blink-182 is incorrect. David, can you steal?
At the shows that I do for Jim, during our music rounds, I often tell our players that if I'm asking for the name of a group and you have absolutely no idea, Fall Out Boy is a good guess because I'm likely to play it. It's Fall Out Boy.
This one is Fall Out Boy.
Oh, my God.
Good job. Good job getting a steal. And David, we're back to you.
Let's go with Literatur.
Literatur or Literature coming at you.
Your decade is the 60s.
Okay. The names of Atticus, Scout, Jem, Dylan Boo are familiar names from Harper Lee's 1961 novel To Kill a Mockingbird. But on whom did Lee base the character of Dill?
Sorry. I know that they were based on people she knew, and I'm pretty sure I'm maybe getting mixed up with another character, but I know she based someone on her childhood friend Truman Capote, so I'm going to go with Truman Capote.
Truman Capote, the childhood friend who would pop over at certain summers, is the character of Dill in that film, or in that book. So, yep, good get there. All right, Jim. You're the boss, and you are behind, my man. Come on.
News and politics.
All right, that'll get you there.
It's the 60s again.
Wow, a lot of old stuff. All right. What alliterative politician served in the U.S. Senate from 1948 until he resigned to become vice president in 1964?
Can't think of it.
Not even a guess?
No.
All right. All right. We're moving back to David. Can you steal this one?
I have a guess, and thinking about where the Minnesota Twins used to play in the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. So Hubert H. Humphrey would be my guess.
Hubert Humphrey is the alliterative politician I was looking for. Okay. All right, getting a steal. And left we have TV, fashion, slang, toys and games, is food. David, which one do you want?
Let's go with slang.
Okay.
It's the 50s.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. What slang term originated in the 20s, but was used extensively in the 1957 novel On the Road? Meaning a cheap make of automobile only fit for scrap, the etymology likely came from a city in Mexico where junker cars would be shipped.
The only thing I can think of is a beater.
Beater is incorrect. Jim, can you steal?
I'm thinking jalopy.
Jalopy is correct.
Oh my god. Nice.
From Jalapas, or Jalapas if you're American, Jalapas, Mexico. So jalopy is correct. All right, Jim getting the steal, and now you get to pick your own category.
Let's try TV.
Okay.
It's the 60s again.
My god.
I swear I'm rolling them.
Okay. Portrayed by Robert Reed, what profession did patriarch Mike Brady have on the TV show The Brady Bunch, which first aired in 1969?
He was an architect.
He was an architect. Good job. Good job. All right, David. Fashion, food, and toys and games.
Let's go with food.
Okay.
Your decade is the 80s.
Chicken fried steak, barbecued pork, fried okra, squash, cornbread grits, corn, sausage with biscuits and gravy, black-eyed peas, strawberries, and pecan pie is the official state meal for what state? It was voted in as such in 1988 and is the only state to have an official state meal. With a meal that big, sooner or later, it'll move from fourth in obesity to first.
Well, I had a number of different ideas until you said one specific word, which I'm going to take as a hint, and going to say Oklahoma.
I tried to emphasize sooner a little bit more, and you definitely picked up on it. It is Oklahoma. Good get. All right. Good one there. Jim, what category would you like?
Toys and games.
Okay.
It's the 60s again.
It's the 60s. All right. What line of miniature functional toy household appliances produced by Topper Toys was launched in 1966? Items sold separate, such as a small working oven, a vacuum cleaner, and several other items in addition to a doll introduced later. The name of the line has since become a common phrase in American English, meaning any domestic-based woman.
Wait, yeah, I'm sorry. I only got about a third of that.
So yep, it was a big one. All right. What line of miniature functional toy household appliances produced by Topper Toys was launched in 1966? Items sold separate, such as a small working oven, a vacuum cleaner, and several other items, in addition to a doll introduced later. The name of the line has since become a common phrase in American English, meaning any domestic-based woman.
Only thing that pops in my head is probably not right, Barbie.
Barbie is incorrect. David, can you steal?
From the description, the only thing I could guess would be housewife.
Housewife is incorrect. So no, this toy line, and you can definitely, you've said this, you might have said this, but you've definitely probably heard it, is, oh, she's a real Susie Homemaker. Susie Homemaker is the line of toys. Okay.
I have.
All right. And that is going to leave.
Can he mix up the dye there? And, you know,
I'm trying to roll 60s. It all different kinds of ways to get different results. And unfortunately, it just keeps coming up 60s.
Keeps coming up 60s. Yep. Everything's coming up Milhouse. I mean 60s. All right, David, you are left with fashion.
And your decade is the 2000s.
Hey, there we go. At the 2001 Academy Awards, Icelandic singer Björk surprised everyone with a dress that resembled what animal? Accessories included a trail of eggs that she laid as she walked down the red carpet.
I didn't know that part, but I did watch. I watch the Oscars every year. This was the infamous swan dress.
It is the infamous swan dress. All right, that is the end of round one. John, how are things looking?
All right, well, David's got a little bit of a lead with 60, but Jim's got a couple points, so he doesn't have too far to catch up. He's got 20.
Absolutely. We have seen 40-point swings, and that totally could happen. If it happened in the first round, it can happen in the second round. We'll see how things go. So, Jim, as you started off round one, that means, David, you get to pick for Jim to start off round two. What category is he going to get?
Let's start with fashion.
Okay.
And your decade is the 90s.
What casual streetwear brand was established in 1996, but due to poor investments, went bankrupt in 1996? Luckily, the brand wasn't derelict and homeless for long, as new management brought it out of bankruptcy in 1997.
Moon shoes?
Moon shoes.
No idea.
No way. No, not even close. Definitely not moon shoes.
Can you repeat that again?
I can. What casual streetwear brand was established in 1986, but due to poor investments went bankrupt in 1996? Luckily, the brand wasn't derelict and homeless for long, as new management brought it out of bankruptcy in 1997.
So wait a second. Did you say 1986 or 96 that the brand was started?
It was established in 86, but went bankrupt in 96. So it's the 90s. It had something to do with the 90s. It counts as a 90s question. Damn it.
I'm sure that the derelict and homeless is a clue, but I'm not picking up on it.
Nope. Gonna pass?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Those were hints, and they are going towards Bum Equipment. BUM, Bum Equipment. Do you guys remember that? I definitely had a shirt.
I remember that.
Not a clue.
I also had a really hard time not quoting Zoolander when you said derelict.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is our clean podcast. I'll save it for the other show, John.
Sure.
All right. No points awarded there. Jim, what do you want to give to David?
You can go with sports. Okay.
And he gets the 60s.
Okay. And we've got a question from Will Boylan. Thank you, Will. During the medal ceremony at the Olympic Stadium in Mexico City on October 16th, 1968, American track stars Tommy Smith won gold and John Carlos won bronze, famously raising the black glove fist during the playing of the U.S. national anthem. What was the event whose current world record is held by Usain Bolt in which men medaled? And you got to be specific.
I'm going to say the 100 meter dash.
The 100 meter dash is incorrect. Jim, can you steal?
I think it might be the 200 meter dash.
Men's 200 meter is correct.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. Good job. Right. All right. Jim gets the steal. And now, David, you got to pick a category for him.
Toys and games.
Okay.
And your decade is the 90s.
Okay. Though it originated in the 1976 two-player arcade video game Blockade, what game gained massive popularity when Nokia programmed it into phones that were released in 1997?
Snake?
Snake is correct. Good job. All right, we are moving along. What category do you want to give to David?
Let's go with slang.
Okay.
And your decade is the 2000s.
A form of photographical portrait became popular with the rise of phone cameras, which led to what new word being entered into dictionaries in 2002?
I would have to guess selfie.
Selfie. Yep, it's a selfie. Pretty standard. Easy one there.
All right. Let's hand him literature.
Literature. Love it.
And we finally have a 70s question.
Okay. All right, this one is for Jim. To date, Stephen King has published 65 novels, including 7 under the pen name Richard Bachman, and 5 nonfiction books. It all began with what 1974 horror novel? Then in 1976, it would also become the first film adapted from one of his novels.
Carrie?
Carrie is the first novel by Stephen King and the first movie based on his novels. Good job. All right.
So, got to know that one.
Yep. Okay. What do you want to give to David? We still have food, news and politics, TV, music and movies.
Let's go music.
Okay.
And the decade is the 50s.
All right. Simon and Garfunkel appeared on American Bandstand on November 22nd, 1957, but they didn't use their real names. Instead, they used the names of what famous duo?
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry is correct.
My mother-in-law went to school with them.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
All right. So let's go food.
All right. Food for Jim.
And it is the 90s.
What saloon first opened in 1993 in New York City? Known for its bartenders dancing on top of the bar, it served as the setting of a 2000 film of the same name. The brand then franchised and currently has over 20 locations in the U.S., England, Wales, and Russia.
Coyote Ugly?
Coyote Ugly is correct. All right, we're doing very well in round two so far. And which of the remaining categories do you want to give to David?
Let's shoot for TV.
Okay.
And decade is the 70s.
We've got a question from Chris Hossie. Thank you, Chris. What 1970s detective drama featured a lollipop-loving titular character and his famous catchphrase, "Who loves you, baby?"
That would be Mr. Theo Kojak.
It is Kojak. That's it done.
Okay. So we've got, just to confirm, we've got news and politics and movies.
Those are our only two categories left.
All right. I'm going to give him news and politics.
Okay. Saving movies for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the decade is the 90s.
What senator and presidential hopeful first joined Congress in the U.S. House of Representatives from Vermont's at-large district in 1991? Even then, he enjoyed sitting with mittens.
Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders is correct. He's been on there for a while. All right. And that is going to leave movies for David.
All right. It's the 50s.
Okay. For what 1951 movie, based on a Tennessee Williams play, does Marlon Brando don an undershirt?
My wife and I actually just watched this for the first time not that long ago. That is A Streetcar Named Desire.
That is A Streetcar Named Desire. All right, and that wraps us up for round two. John, what are the standings?
All right. Well, David still has the lead, but Jim was able to close the gap a good bit and not get shut out. David has 100 and Jim has 70.
Okay. All right. Yep. So it still can be any person's win with our final round here. And David, as you are in the lead, what category do you want to go into the final round for the first question?
Movies.
Okay.
And the decade will be the 70s.
And Mr. Jim, which category will be joining it?
Sports.
Sports, okay.
And that is also the 70s.
Okay. Well, I need the two of you to write down your wagers for this final round based on 70s sports and 70s movies. So remember, you have to get both of these questions correct to make your wager.
All good.
Yep, I'm good.
All right. We are going to start off in our 70s movies. Star Wars dwarfed all other movies released in 1977, earning almost $500 million. What other science fiction film was the second highest moneymaker that year? And our 70s sports question. In what was billed as the fight of the century, what smoking good boxer beat Muhammad Ali by unanimous decision to win the heavyweight championship of the world on March 8th, 1971? All right, I'm going to do a quick little plug here. While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I want to let everybody out there know that they should be checking out Return Revenge Resurrection. If you guys are fans of horrors and particular horror franchises, they go through a bunch of different horror franchises, and it's a lot of fun. So make sure you check out the Beef Up Network show, Return Revenge Resurrection. All right, do either of you need one of the questions reread?
I'm good.
Nope.
Okay. All right, Jim, as you were behind, tell us your answers to our 70s movies question and our 70s sports question.
The only movie I could come up with was Alien. And the sports question, I believe, was Joe Frazier.
Okay. And David, what were your answers?
For the movies, I said Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And I also said Joe Frazier.
All right.
For the sports question.
Well, that smoking good boxer was certainly Joe Frazier. And for the 1977 second highest grossing movie for that year, it was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. All right, so David getting both of his answers, and as he was in the lead, you know, there's no real drama here, but we do want to know our final scores. So, Jim, what did you wager?
I wagered 10.
10, okay. And David?
On one of the last episodes that I was listening to, you talked about people getting into the 200 club, so I decided to go for it and bet 100.
Hey, all right, John, do the math.
All right, joining the illustrious 200 club, David ends with 200 and Jim has 60. So Woo. David is our winner today.
He is. We're going to have to do something about that 200 club. Man, we're going to have to make something like, you know, like a real banner or something going on. Because, yeah, we got a new member today. And thank you, David. And thank you, Jim. We really had a lot of fun with both of you guys on the show.
Oh, thank you. So,
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All right. David, you'll get the last word today. But Jim, now's your time to shout out anything you want. And we really appreciate you having on. But just use this time as you wish.
All right. Like I said, book me for a live game show. It doesn't matter where you're doing them. HOA neighborhood, could be for a company picnic, could be for a corporate event at a hotel in, say, Orlando, any place like that. All you got to do is look me up, floridagameshow.com. You could have myself, or you could have the smart guy, David.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would want you, and we can have the winner of the show. I'm just kidding. You guys are both great. David, anything you want to add?
Well, first of all, happy Father's Day, since we're recording this on Father's Day, to all of those to whom it is appropriate. And also a message that I always say, my wife and I, our decision to adopt our son was the greatest thing we ever did. And so we highly encourage, if you're looking to expand your family or start a family, you know, do consider adoption.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic there. All right, everybody. For David, for Jim, for John, I'm Adam. And this was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast, or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
La, la.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Corey.
And we are the hosts of Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast. We are breaking down every single episode of Seinfeld as we watch it, reliving this amazing show.
That's right, it's a trip down memory lane for all of us 90s kids out there. You can find Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and Patreon.
La la la.